Beloveds, in our journey, our healing journey in this season of healing, one of the ingredients is forgiveness. And when I talk about forgiveness, I think of Trevor Hudson, who says, I'm one beggar coming to another beggar, showing them where to find bread, because it's a theme to talk about forgiveness. There's a story in the Bible. I absolutely love the story. So join me in John when he says, Jesus went across the mount to the across to Mount Olive, but he was soon back in the temple again. Swarms of people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. The religious scholars and Pharisees led in a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. She stood there in plain sight and said, Teacher, this woman was caught red-handed in the act of adultery. Moses in the law gives orders to stone such persons. What do you say? You see, they were trying to trap him into saying something incriminating so that they could bring charges against Jesus. Jesus. He bent down and wrote with his finger in the dirt. They kept at him and they badgered him, and he straightened up and said, So the sinless one among you, go first. Any one of you who does not have sin, throw the first stone. And then he bent down again and wrote some more. Hearing that, they walked away, one after another, beginning with the oldest. The woman was left alone, and Jesus stood up and spoke to her. Woman, where are they? Does no one condemn you? No one, Master. Neither do I condemn you, says Jesus. I forgive you. Go on your way, and from now on, sin no more. This story, beloveds, it hits me in the core. I had COVID about a month ago, and one of the effects of COVID is your blood can be thick. Last week, Saturday, my leg started swelling. It looked like an elephant leg. I couldn't stand on the leg. 11 o'clock the evening, my wife Marcha got medical advice. They said, no, it can be blood clots. Go to the emergency right now. That's the thing. It's news that I kissed Marcha. I kissed my kids, knowing that this can be the last. To not be well, to need healing, to need wellness in this time of pandemic, we are very conscious about our health. So I drove to hospital in desperate need of healing. I arrive at emergency, and it's a thing to be in a space where there's sickness and illness. One person's hand was cut and it was blood, and one lady gave birth to a baby and it wasn't an easy situation. I heard the doctor speak to someone who got shot in Krugersdorp. Coming from Germiston, I know what that sounds like. But I needed healing. So as I laid there and prayed there, thinking about today, I realized that unforgiveness is somehow like these blood clots. It sits, and if it's not attended to, it can break your heart. It can go through your heart if you don't forgive. We desperately need healing, and we need a journey of forgiveness. How do we do that? And this lady, this story is something amazing. There's three thoughts came to mind. First thought, first invitation to receive forgiveness. No one is condemning me. Sir, she said, neither do I do. I don't condemn you. You are free, Jesus declared. You are forgiven. Those words. Some scholars in a footnote say maybe this should not be in the book of John. Maybe it should be in Luke or somewhere else, or I don't know. Most of us agree it should be in Scripture. I completely am convinced that this story in Scripture is one of the most amazing stories of the gospel. It's Jesus at his best. This authentic story. You see, Jesus had a heart for outsiders because we are all this lady. The Pharisees, it was such a setup, but they brought this woman caught in adultery. But as you know, adultery needs two people. So where is the man? Why do we have a heading? The woman caught in adultery. Why isn't, you know what I'm saying? There's witnesses, two witnesses who saw them before she can be stoned. And now the Pharisees brings this age-old dilemma to Jesus. Age-old dilemma. The dilemma for the church, the dilemma, the trap for the world. Same dilemma. If you respect the law, you have to disregard all the sinners. So they are waiting for him to say, come to me, all of you who are heavy, and I'll stone you. They want that message. And then all the sinners will know, yes, the law. But if he shows compassion, they've got him, because then they think he will disregard the law. This age-old dilemma, but Jesus is above all the silly little plans. You see, Jesus came to fulfill the law completely. He's there because of the law. It's him. He is perfect theology. And he's also there in full compassion and love and forgiveness for everyone, and specifically in this day and time for that lady. He's above all of them. He's amazing. These two options seem to be a contradiction. But Jesus is serious about the law. He starts writing in the sand. We don't know what he wrote. Maybe he wrote the sins of the Pharisees, pride, gluttony, whatever. Maybe he wrote their names. Maybe it's the second time Jesus wrote on earth. God wrote on earth. He wrote the law in Moses' time, and now he's writing again. Maybe he wrote the law. He looked up and he looked down and he said, forgiven. Who knows? But Jesus refuses to play their game. She's created in the image of God, see. It's amazing. He looks her in the eye and she sees forgiveness and love and mercy. I cannot imagine how much she needed to see in the face of God, him looking up into her, and love shines through and grace. And she hears those words which she desperately needed her whole life. Forgiven. And to receive it. And maybe as we read the story, you and I, maybe we desperately need to hear that today. You are forgiven. You see, Jesus was the only one who could pick up a stone. He said, if you are without sin, throw a stone. Which then means he can should throw a stone, but he doesn't. It's amazing. What comes through God Almighty towards this lady is forgiveness. And what comes through the eyes of Jesus towards you and me, love, mercy, and forgiveness. This is good news, beloveds. And as we receive this, a second thing happens, a second invitation, dare I say, to forgive others, to extend forgiveness to others. In Luke we read, and if someone sins against you 7 times a day, lo and behold, and returns to you 7 times saying, I'm sorry, I repent, forgive them, Dwight Moody said, the voice of sin is so loud, but the voice of forgiveness is louder. Jesus had the right to throw the stone, but he doesn't. But this lady, I think in her life, she needs to forgive so much. Can you imagine people who had a setup, who grabbed her, maybe, I don't know, in a bed towel or something, putting her there, showing fingers at her? Can you imagine what she has to forgive? Where is the man? She's there alone. They are calling her names and they reduced her to her sin. They reduced her to a sin. She became the woman who was caught in adultery. Probably the Pharisees reading this now thinks that they'll go to heaven and say, ah, there's Candy, the woman caught in it, you see. But Jesus is not like that. Somehow, as she has this journey to forgive others, in the eyes of Jesus, she saw someone who gave her something which she could receive and then extend to others. It's a thing to forgive. Maybe for some, it's a thing that happens instantaneously. But it's a journey. It's a deliberate choice. And it happens every day and every 70 times 7 a day. And it's intentional and deliberate. For me to speak about forgiveness feels like someone who's writing a book saying, let me talk to you about humility and how I achieved it in spite of my success. It's a contradictio in terminis. How do I speak about forgiveness? But I remind us of Trevor, who said, one beggar coming to another, showing them where his food. But it's very hard and difficult to receive these forgiveness, this for others and to extend it to others. Tim Keller speaks in a book. He said, we all need grace, but sometimes we think we don't need so much. And when we think we don't need so much grace, we cannot extend that much grace. There's a story in the Word of God where he speaks about the man who owed someone else massive, massive amounts of money. He owed him too much. And he was forgiven. The person said, you don't owe me anything. You can go. And then he went and he saw someone else and he grabbed and then he said, please pay me this little penny. So the king said, bring back the man. So that guy did not understand that he was forgiven much. So to really get this forgiveness in our core and in our gut in order to forgive. I once sat with someone to understand this forgiveness thing. And he said to me, you know, Hendrik, when someone does something to you which hurts you intensely, someone has to pay. And Jesus felt your pain 2,000 years ago. It was when they did it to you, they do it to him. When someone does it to you, it's done unto him. And it's so extensively intense, needed of someone who pays. Jesus took it to the cross. He had to take it to the cross there. And there he said, Father, forgive them because they know not what they are doing. See, it's easy here to forgive if someone says, I'm sorry. Then maybe I can try to do 70 times a day, maybe 50. But if someone does not say, I am sorry, how do you forgive? And here we have the example. Jesus saying, Father, forgive them. But the forgiveness lies that he carried your pain and he carried your burdens. Isn't it amazing that what happened to you and me and what we do to others, Jesus carried it. And that's why he could stand there that day, ignoring the nonsense of the Pharisees. And then there's a third invitation, to forgive yourself. To forgive yourself. The second is this, love your neighbor as you love yourself. There's no commandment greater than these. It's the two, to love yourself, to forgive yourself. Sometimes when people say, you must love yourself, they think, oh, he wants us to be narcissists. No. You see, Jesus is sharing with us this rhythm, this invitation to receive love, to become healed, healing, to forgive others. And we need to walk around as people who know that I am forgiven. You need to walk around to know full well you are forgiven, to stand, to be able to stand in front of a mirror and say to yourself, whatever your name is, I forgive you. I forgive myself for whatever is there to forgive in order for this blood clot to be resolved. Luckily, I did not have a blood clot and I can stand today. But we need forgiveness for ourselves. We need to find this. You see, my son bought a suitcase. My wife bought him a suitcase in the week. Expensive suitcase because he has to carry about 70,000 kilograms of books. So now the suitcase ripped day one and I had to take it back. To return it, it was an opportunity for me to shine. I drove to Checkers. I phoned customer care on the way, as you should before you go. They awaited my coming. A customer care took the bag. They exchanged it. It was good news. I became the hero of the story. I phoned my wife. I was able to exchange the bag. Good news. The school bag is exchanged. And as I put the phone down, I thought to myself, but I wanted to share this story with my son, you see, so that I can shine with the good news which I have. There's a healing in this bag situation. But have you ever felt like that? You had a good news and then someone else told your good news. You see, but today there's an invitation. There's good news for you and me. Forgiveness. Healing through forgiveness. You can go to the mirror. Look, not by the identity that someone else, not defined by sin, but defined by the one who made you, who loves you, Jesus, by God Almighty. And in you, you can look and say, I've got good news today. I've got great, exceptional, great news. Henry Beecher said, compassion will cure more sins than condemnation. You have to have compassion on yourself because of what you received through Jesus. This is exceptional good news. As I think about the story of this lady, Jesus said, or the word says in Isaiah, Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. And our ingredient today is forgiveness, a choice to receive. In the Bible, we read about two people, Peter and Judas. And Peter decided, after he messed up so badly, to receive forgiveness. And the church was built on that rock, Jesus. And then there was Judas, who did not receive that. And somehow this unforgiveness blood clot broke his heart and he died. It led to death. And the invitation to really receive the truth. A friend phoned me in the week. He sent me a WhatsApp. Hendrik, will you please pray that Jesus will forgive me? I phoned him, spoke to him, and I said, beloved brother, it doesn't matter what you feel, but the truth of the word is you are forgiven. And this is the story for today, for you. You are loved. And when you look in the eyes of Jesus, you'll see forgiveness, which in the depth of you can, if you choose, lead to forgiveness for others. And then forgiveness for yourself, in whichever way you position it, to receive this amazing forgiveness from Jesus. I invite you in the week to ask Jesus, God, what is there that maybe I think you haven't forgiven me? To go to God. Father, what is there? Is there anything to get his eyes and his glimpse on you? With his words, I did not invite you to be stoned. That was not the invitation of Jesus. Your sins are forgiven, he says. Or maybe there are people which you need to forgive. And I invite you to pray a simple prayer. Show me who I need to forgive, Jesus, and help me to do that. And he will. And maybe, beloved, maybe you need to forgive yourself for whatever you've done or is there. Maybe you should go and sit or stand somewhere and say, I forgive you. And that we become healed, people of healing, because Jesus came to heal our broken hearts and to set us free so that we can walk in his love, being healed through these ingredients of forgiveness. Let's do this, and let me pray for you. Jesus, forgiveness is a thing. It's a heavyweight theme. Today, as we journey with you, may we hear, God Almighty, your words, the good news, the gospel, you are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Tetelestai, it's done. Give us the grace, O Lord, to forgive others and to live like people of the light with forgiveness. And help us to also forgive ourselves for all we've done wrong to ourselves and others. And we can do this because of you, Jesus, and your life and your example. Amen, beloveds. May the huge grace of Jesus Christ, your healer and your Lord and your friend and your brother, your King, the love of your Father, the love, amazing, immense love of the Father, and the presence of Holy Spirit be with you every day, always, forever and ever. Amen.